we got good news from that, and that the situation is not as dire as it could be. And so praise God for that. I just share that with you because we are a family. We pray together. We carry one another's burdens and just rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so anyways, it's been heavy on my heart this day. So praise God for that good news. We've been walking through on Wednesday evening looking at heaven. We spent the last couple weeks talking about resurrection, okay? Resurrection. The key in thinking and working through resurrection is continuity. That yes, some things will be different, and we look forward to those differences. In fact, the Bible says it's going to be so magnificent, some of the changes that you and I aren't able to comprehend, and yet the continuity of it all is so very important, okay? We're going to continue that idea, and this goes back several weeks, with the extent of the fall and the need for resurrection and the way that the scripture says that all of creation is groaning and is awaiting the resurrection. And so we're going to carry that idea forward this evening, and we're going to think for just a moment about the resurrection of the new earth, okay? The resurrection of the new earth. Think with me for a moment about the Bible's storyline, okay? You have creation, a God who is so awesome and powerful. He speaks and all of creation falls into place. So think about the magnificence of this, right? How vast and how wide and also how micro level all of creation is. And then creation, and man is the pinnacle of creation, and God made man in his image and placed him in Eden, the perfect spot for him. Tells man, fill the earth with the image of God, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And then the fall. Now, what you are expecting in the fall is death, death that was promised from God. You're expecting it to be immediate, but God's promised death is delayed. It is true, it is real. There's spiritual death and physical death ultimately comes, but God shows immediate mercy in the fact that that death is delayed. And as God begins to even talk about the curses that follow, there is hope that is embedded in there. Basically, God didn't blow everything up. He didn't immediately completely destroy everything and start over, make something else, just go, you know what, that plan was awful. I'm done with that. I'm going over here and doing something different. No, instead, you begin to see a seed, a hope of promise and redemption, that the gospel of this seed of promise given to the woman, that your seed will crush the serpent's head. And then as the story unfolds, you see God's plan is still to unfold his glory to the ends of the earth, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord. And that goes all the way forward to God taking on flesh, becoming the sacrifice for our sin, so that dead bones will rise in resurrection. That God's glory on display, that God would want to be most glorified by his mercy, by his grace, by redemption, by resurrection. Now, here's why that matters. Because we've been talking about resurrection, this same truth applies to the new earth. Again, we all have a common misconception about our eternal heaven, of what that will be like. And we almost imagine it's just floating on clouds and we're bodiless and we're just floating around and it's nothing like earth and we're just playing on harps and endless singing, all right? And so this is going to focus our attention, the short little recharge, on the fact that God is going to make the earth new. That heaven and earth become one, okay? And that is ultimately what the Bible calls the new earth. Okay, a couple reasons for this. One, you understand this? I'm talking about a physical reality. That when you think about the resurrected earth, the new earth, you need to start with earth. Okay? Start with earth. Yes, it will be different. We'll talk about differences, but I need to spend some time just convincing you it's going to be earth. You're not going to be floating on clouds and harps and all that stuff. It's going to be earth. You've got a physical body. Okay? Why is this important? One, okay? Because that's what God does. Right? God takes the earth, and even though it's fallen and even though it's cursed, God redeems that. That's the storyline of the Bible. Otherwise, Satan and sin will have won. God doesn't give up. He doesn't blow it all up. He doesn't start over. He makes it new through resurrection, restoration. Two, Jesus has been promised David's throne. And every promise as you work through, that throne is an earthly throne in Jerusalem. Okay, let me give you some verses. They're going to be on the screen. Isaiah 9:7. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. Okay, from then on and forevermore. Psalm 72:8. That he may rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth, and let all kings bow down before him and all nations serve him. Zechariah 9:10, okay, it says the same thing. Look at the end. And he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And Isaiah 66, okay, the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and they shall see my glory. For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make to endure before me, declares the Lord, so your offspring and so your name will endure, and all of mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord. And if you work through the end of Isaiah from chapter 60 forward, it gets a little confusing. There's a lot of stuff that's crammed in there. But one of the things that you have to hold for certain is there is a time when Jesus will come and will rule and will reign in Jerusalem on the throne of David. Okay? Like it's going to be real, physical, tangible. And it's really important because as you work through the end of Isaiah, all of those promises, they find their ultimate fulfillment. Like some of them are fulfilled in the millennium, but there's different interpretations of the millennium. But even some other promises at the end of Isaiah, they point to Revelation 21 and 22. Like, and so you are supposed to anticipate an earthly reign of Jesus. You say, but wait a second, won't the earth be burned up? 2 Peter 3:10, listen to this. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Okay? Two things. There's a lot I can say about that passage. Don't have the time, right? These are 7-minute sermons. You're like, Pastor, you never stick to 7 minutes. I know. Two things quickly to say about that passage. One, that language about the works will be burned up, the earth will be burned up, and the works will be burned up, that's a real parallel passage to what's happening in 1 Corinthians 3:13, where it says that fire will test each man's works. It says that all that was done before, it's going to be tested by fire, and your works, if they're of faith and if they're of purity to stand the test. And he uses this illustration of sticks and the wood will be burned up, but if you're building with silver and gold, it will last, okay? So I point to that. And then secondly, this does seem to indicate a cataclysmic event of the very end of time. But if you look at the context of 2 Peter in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 3, there's a parallel to Noah's flood. Okay, Noah's flood is referenced as the parallel. So God promised that he will not destroy the earth with water again, but then it points to the fire that's coming. Now, why is this so important? Because with Noah's flood, that first event, it was judgment where God destroyed everything, but he did so temporarily because there was new life that came on the other side. See, what followed was new. It was restored. It was resurrected. There was continuity with the earth, right? It's not like it was blown up and then we started all over. No, no, no. There was continuity after the flood. That's why this is so important. Why? Because the new earth, you should think in terms of restoration, renewal, superior in character. Okay, the same way that the scripture talks about us becoming new creation, so the new earth will be that way. Here's why this is important, because as we close, I want you to think of the new earth in familiar terms, kind of like home. Why? Because you will have a resurrected body, and it will still touch, and it will still feel, and it will still taste, okay? And your body was created for earth. And while the intermediate heaven, the scripture pushes the idea of rest, and it's not broken like it is here, as you press into the ideas of the new earth in scripture, it's filled with activity and expansion and exploration and serving Christ and reigning with him. Our world, but without corruption of death and sin. If I told you I'm going to give you a new car, you would still know it's a car. You would start with that. And so the new earth is going to be much like, except it's going to be new. It's going to be resurrected. It's still going to have dirt and rocks and trees and flowers and water and animals and mountains and rivers and lakes and grand canyons. All the things that you love about this place that aren't sinful, they give you a glimpse, a taste of what is to come. So at the end of this evening, I'm going to get in my car and there's going to be the cool of the air, and I'm going to turn on a radio, a great song, probably for me a song from the 80s or something, maybe Journey, and I'm going to roll the windows down and remember what it was like when I had hair and the wind would breeze through it. Or the things that you love, like a barbecue with friends, or curling up on the couch with a hot cup of coffee and a book to read. And like the things that you love, they are a glimpse of what is to come. And just a teaser, because I've been meditating and chewing on this, is so exciting. Because you think, in my short time here, there are so many things that I love, or I would like to love, or I'd like to explore, but I don't yet have time for. Because I got these three knuckleheads that take up most of my time, and then I got to work all day, that sort of thing. Like, but what is it going to be like when I have infinite time, and I have time to pick up and learn to play the guitar, and music, and art, and explore all of those aspects of ourselves that we don't yet have time for? Won't that be magnificent? For you, with your likes and the way that God has made you comfortable in your skin, on a new earth, a resurrected earth that's like it, like the current earth, but no sin. This is the space that the Lord wants us to play in and to begin to dream. It's so good. It's important for us to think about our eternal home and the way that he has made us. Because I don't want you to feel lost, like when you like golf, to be like, well, I guess there's not going to be any golf in heaven. I think the things that we love are good and they're right. When they're not sinful, just imagine when your desires are right. When you're not trying to put others down. See, I love competition. I love sports. And I know there's something inside of me that's really good about that. Like, I love it. Then there's this evil part that just wants to destroy everyone and be the best, right? So when that's gone, just to love competition, sports, and those things, dream in this space. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your continual word towards our eternal home. And when heaven and earth become one, and I know this is a good exercise for us to just contemplate your goodness and what it's going to be like, and to enjoy the things on this earth that are beautiful, that are magnificent, the Grand Canyon and mountains and rivers.
Father, help us to keep our priority with you. Your word says that you are preparing a place for us that will ultimately come down and when heaven and earth become one. And if you are so intricate with details to know us personally, how magnificent will that place be? We thank you for that. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.